Call this Monday, August 28th, regular Othello City Council meeting to order. And if you would all please rise. For a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon the council and the decisions we make. And now please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call, and I see that all council members are present. And so now I'll move to item 1.5, citizen input. This is the segment of the city council meeting where any citizen can address the city council for up to 5 minutes. If there's anyone here who would like to address the council tonight, please raise your hand. Okay, we have several. We'll start, ma'am. If you would please step to the microphone, you have up to 5 minutes. And please state your name and address for the record. Okay.
My name is Rosa Contreras, and my reason here today is I'm one of the vendors that sells vegetables at the farmer's market. And, the ladies that are in charge of the farmer's market just said, that says, okay, it's Saturdays or whatever. Anyway, came up to me and said, in this case, Patty, that first we were told it was going to be 3 weeks of Thursdays that we were going to be selling. And they said they wanted to try it out to see how it would work. And so I go, okay, I work at Walmart. I don't get off until 4. And none of my kids drive, so I go, okay, this is going to be hard for me to get there, you know. And so one way or another, I found a way of getting there. We started selling it. Obviously, not everybody knows about the farmer's market being on Thursdays. They're used to Saturdays because most of our customers are farmer workers that they know that after they get off early on Saturday, they come to the farmer's market and they come and purchase their vegetables for the week. So, the first day wasn't really good. And, you know, it doesn't really work out for me. It's okay if they want to have it on Thursdays, but, you know, also on Saturdays would be nice, would be my main day that I would go. And I have customers coming to Walmart asking me, okay, when is the farmer's market going to be on Saturdays, you know, because that's what works for them. And I go, well, they said we were on trial for 3 weeks of Thursdays, and we'll see. And I actually had a customer today come up to me and ask me, and I told her we're actually having a meeting today, so we'll see what happens. And Patty comes and asks on the first day, she says, or no, the second weekend, she says, so how do you guys like it? Obviously, I let her know, you know, that I preferred Saturdays because, and I explained to her why. And she says, well, she says, I'm the one that's in charge of it from the Chamber of Commerce, where I'm the one that says the last word, she says. So at the end, what my word is the one that counts or something like that. She made it, she let me know right away that whatever she decided at the end was what was going to go. And I'm like, okay, so why did you come asking us that you were asking for our opinion if you already know what you're going to do? So anyway, I'm here because I'd rather on Saturdays. I feel that we have a lot more customers and for the vegetables. which is my concern to sell, because, you know, they'll go to waste, and that's when we have our most sales from the farmer's market, also the people from the WIC. And I don't know, I just feel that we sell a lot more on Saturdays. Sorry if I didn't explain myself very well.
So Rosa, basically, you're here tonight to say that you wanted to go back to Saturday?
I would love to.
Okay.
And I see that my mother's not here. She's one of the main vendors in the farmer's market for vegetables. She also goes to Moses Lake to sell during the week, and then she would come on Saturdays to sell over here. But she said that if they would do Thursdays and Saturdays, that would be really good for her. But yeah, that's my main concern.
Council, does anyone have questions?
So for what reason did it get changed over from Saturday to Thursday? My understanding that it wasn't working out? What was not working out?
Not for the vendors. We all are, I'm sure that most of us want Saturdays or the vegetable vendors. But I heard that the person, our other helper, or the one that's there actually at the park every Saturday, I heard that it didn't work for her because she wasn't able to go out or whatever, do her own thing.
Okay, you're just speculating. Those representatives will explain, okay? So is there any other comment then that you have?
No.
You just wanted to go back to Saturdays?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you, Rosa.
Thank you.
All right, is there anyone else here to talk about the... Thursday, Saturday, farmer's market?
What was it? They switched because they weren't getting anybody on Saturdays? They thought they'd get more people on Thursdays?
We have with us Patty and Bianca. Patty's the president of the Chamber of Commerce, and Bianca's the manager of the Chamber. If you'd like them to speak, would you come forward, please? State your name and address for the record, please.
I'm Patty Garza.
My name is Bianca Mendoza, and I'm the manager for the Chamber of Commerce.
I'm the president. And, well, you start.
Okay. So this is my second year running the farmer's market at Pioneer Park. And since I started, we've had about an average of 5 to 8 vendors every week at the park, including the vegetable vendors. Since I've started, I've seen a decline in the attendance in both vendors and customers. And so we wanted to try something different. It's not unusual for people that live in Othello to go out of town on Saturdays. So a lot of the people that are attending just like to be up early in the morning, which is not a lot of people, but we wanted to try something different. So we chose Thursday because it was right before the weekend, and we could have chosen Wednesday too, but we decided to try out Thursday. So we did try it out for 3 weekends, and the amount of people and vendors more than tripled during those 3 weekends, weekdays. And so we decided, we asked the opinions of all the vendors and customers, and we took that into consideration when we made a decision on moving the market. We understand that it is inconvenient for some vendors and for some customers as well, because it interferes with their work schedule. But we are looking to grow the market, and it seems like this is working. So we wanted to try it out for the rest of the farmers market season.
Patty, thank you.
Okay.
Bianca.
Me, as I've been there since they opened the farmer's market, Saturdays. I will go early to see what was going on. We'll see different vendors. The vegetables, they do good. I'm not lying, Saturdays are good for them. But we want the farmer's market to grow to different vendors, you know, different, to make it big. So we have different vendors, and she told me to mention her name. Her name is Lori Wheeler. She sells soaps. Lori Tuff, she sells coffee. So They're being there on Saturdays, they started on Saturdays, and they said, "Is this the traffic that you get here, Patty?" And I say, "Yes, migrants coming to go and cash their checks." I've been helping Erica Ironworks on translating in Spanish, and they get a check of $4. Erica will say, $4.30, $4.50. No, make it for, you know, they don't want to pay extra. So other vendors, Lori, will be like, "I got up early. This is not going to work for me, Patty. Another vendor is not going to work for me, Patty." So we tried Thursday, and it's amazing, you know? But the first 2 weeks, the clinic didn't go and give the checks. The vegetable people were hurting, you know? So other vendors were doing good. So now the last...
Can I stop just a second?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say the clinic didn't come, they come with the coupons?
Yes,
the
checks.
Mm-hmm. The checks, and those are the WIC checks, mm-hmm. and that's what many of the migrant workers use to purchase these vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first 2 weeks, those weren't available, but now... on Thursday, and so now they're available, and that's what she's talking about.
But the third week, the clinic came, the other vendors came, and it was good because everybody was making money, the vegetables and other vendors, and that's what we want, to make it big, and everybody, I don't have to be there, but I've been closing my business to come and support the farmers market. To make it, you know, me as a president, I support Bianca too, because she will say, "Patty, what can we do to make it big too?" Because, you know, so it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And I have different names that they said, "Give my name, Patty, and we'll support you." So
how much do the vendors pay?
$10. First time free. The second time is $10. This after.
Okay.
So,
Council, you have any questions?
On the third week, did you see that any difference in the amount of migrant helpers that were coming?
They're learning what was going on at the park. You know, we need to be, you know, educated too, that it's going to be on Thursday and everybody will be there because they want to go and cash the coupons or checks.
Yeah.
So it's getting there, and we see all kinds, local people, community are there. And that's what we want as a farmer's market.
Okay.
Are you still getting the fruits and vegetables on Thursdays?
Yes.
As many as you had on Saturday?
Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Maria is making good money. She told me she was happy. I go, we want everybody to be happy, except Rosa.
Well, you're in competition with other local farmers markets like the Moses Lake Farmers Market and Ellensburg Farmers Market. Now, people are going other places on Saturday. It really, when you drive down the street on Saturday in Othello, there's nobody on the street. There's nobody here. So they're going other places. So I think that having it on an off day when people driving by could say, "Oh, farmer's market, I'll go in and get some vegetables for home." I don't know. I think it's a good idea.
I gotta say,
to try something new.
I drove by the park on Saturday mornings and it was pretty small.
Exactly.
There wasn't a lot of people there. I have driven by the park the last few weeks and it was packed in there.
On Thursday.
And that's what we want. And we've seen that.
Well, I've been down there two of the last 3 weeks on Thursday, and I have noticed that it's much busier than Saturdays. But Rosa, I do have to let you know that the City of Othello entered a contract with the Chamber of Commerce. And so when we entered a contract and they provide insurance, they pay a fee to the city in order to have this farmers market. And so it's their event and it's their park. And so the City of Othello isn't really, I mean, if next year the City of Othello City Council decided that they didn't want to renew with the Chamber of Commerce, I mean, they certainly have that right. But at this point, I don't know what you could do to sell on a Saturday, you know, down there by yourself. I think you would have to sign a contract with the city. You would have to provide insurance. You would have to pay a fee to the city. And the Chamber of Commerce is providing that for $10 a week to you guys. So they're absorbing a lot of costs to host this event. And you got to remember, it's their event. So the city isn't really going to be able to provide you the relief that you probably want, which is what you said, you want it changed to Saturday. So unless the chamber wants to add a day and go to a Saturday as well, I think you're either going to need to change your work schedule or try and set up something on your own. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's, I think, what everybody wants. I mean, it is a good event for the community. And I like the atmosphere when I go down there, and I like arguing with some of those women about the prices on their items. So, yeah, it's fun. Okay, thank you, Patty. Is there anything else you want to add?
No. Okay. Are there any other questions? No, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so is there anybody else want to speak to the farmer's market? Okay, so then Charles, he had something he wanted to address the council with.
I know you guys are diligently waiting. Charles Garcia, 1045 East Rainier. I just wanted to say a couple things, and I'll make it under 5 minutes, hopefully. First and foremost, I want to thank the city for the amazing job they do. When I know most of you know that I host that Latino State Championships here every year. And I'm proud to say we made it through another year. It was everything it was supposed to be. We had over 20 teams. At one point, we were at 24. I want to say roughly we ran about 1,000 people through that park this weekend.
Wow.
With 1,000 people, one complaint, I think we did all right. So other than that, as far as the Latino tournament, I've always hosted it as an event. And obviously, if you guys knew what we give away for prizes, you know we don't do it for profit. We do it for the fact that we want to bring people to our community. I'm aware of that Fiesta Amistad has kind of vacated their request for monies on the budget annually. And I just want to drop a note that if the city was interested in continuing to develop the event portion of it, that I would look into doing a joint venture as to bringing in more entertainment throughout the day during that tournament, because we do bring in the stage. We do have a DJ in the park throughout the day. We spend $1,000 on a mariachi band on Sunday morning from 10 to noon. So we're slowly trying to make it a bigger event, because our motto is we want them to bring their families. We want them to come into the community. We want them to spend the money locally, stay the night, and do those things. So that's just food for thought. That's one thing. But most of all, I wanted to say thank you, especially to Amy, you know, because half the time she's chasing me around wondering what I'm doing next. So, but she does a great job. The parks people, the guys that work at the fields, amazing. They do a great job. As far as the fields, I want to propose something that I'm willing to donate the turf to pull out home plates on all of them, the batting areas on both sides, so you guys can replace it with turf, just that section, because on those fields, Terry and the rest of the crew have done a great job of getting the rocks out of them and developing them, but the biggest problem they have now is the batter's boxes are just one game and they're powder. And so you're going to continue to have that problem unless you guys spend a lot of money to bring in the right soils. So I'm fortunate enough to have about 100 rolls of Wazoo's outfield for their baseball field that they just pulled out. So I'd be willing to donate at least 2 or 3 rolls so you guys would have enough turf to do it, replace it, do it again, replace it, probably for about the next 10, 15 years.
So out of curiosity, what do you...
What do you mean?
I mean, around home plate, how far around?
The batter's box.
Just the batter's box?
Yeah, both sides of the batter's box and, you know, the home plate. I would say probably 8 feet, 8, 10, 8.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a little process. It's not a lot of cost to the city because you take it down the width of the turf, 5/8 crushed gravel, compact it, lay the turf in there. Simple. Easy peasy, and then wears out, or looks, you know, you want to change it out, just cut another piece, throw it down. So.
Well, when you were on council, you probably remember when Terry came and said, for $150,000, we'll put in all the dirt in the infield.
Yeah, no. I move a lot of turf annually, so I know it's expensive. Mm-hmm. But like I said, fortunately, I have about 100 rolls of that and another 100 and some rolls of another one, so I'd gladly give it to the Parks and Rec if they're willing to do something about that. Obviously, maybe not this year, but it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. And it benefits me, too. I mean, we use the fields, and I kind of heard through the grapevine, Moses Lake wants to kind of migrate this way with their men's league. So it would be a good selling point for them for next year.
Appreciate that. Thank you. That's very good. And council, any questions?
Well, could we get our staff to work with Charles to see if we could come up with something?
Yeah.
So that it can be presented to the...
I just made a note to do that.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Like I said,
Let's not drop it. Let's keep it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You made an offer. I'm going to take you up on it.
Yeah. Terry knows where I'm at. You know knows where I'm at. I mean, all you got to do is bring a trailer loaded up and they can get it done. But
I got a question, Charles. Uh-huh. I know I've played a lot of... on them fields, like, but I've never, we're used to sliding in dirt and all that other stuff you're talking about, I've never seen turf or anything around a batter's box, so it would be all brand new to me. Is it other people doing it?
A lot of the west side does it. Okay. Now, just because when there's weather problems or anything, it's the first thing that kind of gets flooded because it's always kind of got a hold to it, but it's really low maintenance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like the turf of the old days, where this is a 2-inch pile and it has the rubber and light sand infill, just like where the Seahawks play. It's top notch, you know.
So is it pinned down so that when you slide in, it doesn't come up?
Yeah, well, these things run about 5 to 7 pounds per square foot. The sand infill, yeah. When Terry hopefully comes to me, I'm going to show him the appropriate way to put it down, which he'll never have a problem, and it's not a big cost, so.
So it's good. When you're
yeah, so that's, I just wanted to make sure you guys knew that was available to you, because I'd mentioned it, and then I just didn't follow up with it, and I wanted to make sure that you guys get some of that before I start dishing it out to wherever I'm gonna send it. So.
Well, thank you for running such a successful event.
Yeah.
It's fun, I would like to see more of you guys there. Heck, half of you live next to it.
Yeah, I was wondering what that loud music was from.
Yeah. But other than that, hey, like I said, just want to say thanks, you guys, for letting me host it every year. It's
yep.
Kind of like my baby, but.
Yeah, so. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
He also made a request about the hotel-motel tax fund. So. You, Gina's our representative on that committee, Spencer, so if you later want to talk to one of those two, they can, I think there's a form you fill out and you can put the application in, and this is a good time of year to do that.
Okay, yeah, okay. Absolutely. Like I said, mm-hmm. I really just want to continue to build it as an event, and that's why I've always tried to register it as an event, because for me, that tournament's not just a softball tournament. It's a lot of culture, a lot of heritage, and especially with us demographically being 80%, you know, non-Anglo. I shouldn't just say Latino, but non-Anglo. It's dear to me. So.
Yeah, that's great, Charles. Thank you.
I'll see you guys.
Anyone else want to address the city council tonight while you're here? Okay, seeing none. We'll move to item 2, the approval of our agenda tonight. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion tonight to approve tonight's consent agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mark, our current business is 4.1 is Mark Wash from Consolidated Disposal. Mark, I apologize. I didn't recognize you. I haven't seen you in a while, but I want to welcome you to the City Council meeting tonight. And you have the floor, Mark.
Hey, I just wanted to introduce him really fast. As you know, our utility rates run on a 3-year cycle. And our garbage rates run on a 3-year cycle that end with this year. So this is something that we're going to be visiting through council committees over the next couple of months so we can get ready for the next 3-year period. There are a number of different things to consider when we're looking at these rates. Ultimately, when we set rates for any one of our water, sewer, or solid waste utilities, the rates are intended to cover just the expenses of that one fund. And when that fund generates revenue, it then goes back into that one fund. It's called the Enterprise Fund. It runs like a little mini business within the city. So when we're looking at these rates, I've built a spreadsheet that we'll be able to use that projects out revenues and projects expenses out so we can see what kind of rates are going to cover the needs of that system. One of the things that we want to talk about is introducing a recycling program, or the possibility of introducing a recycling program in with our regular garbage program. This is something that we talked about briefly a couple years ago, and anyway, it's just something that we want to put out there as more information so that we can make the best decision either way, ultimately, so we can make the best decision for the city. And with that, Mark Wash is here with the from CDSI, our current garbage collecting service, and he's got some info for us.
So, I work for Mark, and I think it would be best if I abstain from this discussion.
Well, and tonight is just informational, and so there's no decision that's going to be made.
Yep. Might call on you for your opinion.
Good evening. I'm Mark Wash, General Manager, Vice President of Consolidated Disposal. Coming up at the end of this month, I will have been there for 29 years, so I do have some experience with this industry. I'm also on the statewide association for the garbage industry, the Washington Refuse and Recycling Association. I sit on that board and have for the last 15-16 years. So I see what's happening across the country, as you well see as you travel around the state. And we are coming up on 2020, I think. July 2020 is the end of the next 3-year term of this contract. And so I like to get any information out there and then get your guys' thoughts, because you know, we'll be asking for a renewed contract. We can make changes to that contract, we can make additions to that contract, or we can leave the contract exactly the same. But I want to make sure that you've got all the ammunition you need, and please, if you ever have any questions down the road, get a hold of Spencer. He can certainly give you my information, and email me, call me, whatever you need. The only reason, obviously, recycling is a thing of the future. It's here. The state of Washington is well over 50% recycling rate, per the figures from the Department of Ecology. And we're a big part of that, not just our company, but as far as our association and the services that we provide statewide. There are a lot of rural recycling programs put over on the west side. Generally, they only work when you've got a density high enough to make it an efficient routes and things like that. So we don't things are last to come over here in the rural part of the state. City of Moses Lake has single stream and yard waste collection along with their garbage service. City of Quincy, which we contract with, has yard waste and single stream recycling. So I wanted to get it out to the city of Othello. You actually pay the higher disposal rate here in Adams County as compared to Moses Lake and the city of Quincy. It's only $28.27 a ton down there. Of course, your rate went to 77. You're probably seeing the results of that and all the waste going into the transfer station. And it's going to go up. Obviously, in this case, it's going up an extra dollar each of the next 3 years. And then we don't know, you know, exactly what's going to happen, but it's certainly not going to decrease. So one of the things...
And that fee is charged by the county?
Correct.
By Adams County?
Yes.
To consolidated disposal or to the city of Othello?
Directly to the city.
Okay.
We provide the collections and we charge you just for that, the collections and the containers that we provide.
So by doing recycling, we eliminate pounds going to the landfill, which we're getting charged by, right?
Correct, correct. And so, then I've got some of those numbers here that I can...
So we would have to make it economically feasible where recycling costs less than actually delivering it to the transfer station and paying that total bulk amount. So if we can come up with something like that, then that, there's no reason not to recycle. And when you talk about a centralized location, the town of Othello, if we required the town of Othello to recycle, that is a centralized location. You're picking up garbage right now in a centralized location in the town of Othello, the city of Othello. So if we're just talking about the city of Othello, it's, you know, what, 3 square miles. It's like a Magnolia over in Seattle, you know, so we're not talking about it being spread out. So I think that there could be some reasonable rates produced to do some recycling.
There are reasonable rates, but I'm here to tell you that recycling will not pay for itself. You can go over on the west side. Of course, their rates are a little bit more spendy over there. They're at $110 to $125 a ton for disposal over there. Even then, what you take out of the waste stream will more than likely not pay for itself. I'll give you a few examples. So, City of Quincy has about 1,700 garbage cans in its town, and then because
residential.
Of certain, yes.
Mark, residential.
Yes. So, well, yes, 1,700 residential cans, whereas the City of Othello has about 1,850 currently. Because of one thing or another, some of the people don't end up participating, so we've only got about 1,620 actual single stream cans out in the community. So I lowered your numbers, so there'll be approximately 1,775 single stream cans here in the city of Othello. City of Quincy produces about 26.5. Each resident or each household produces approximately 26.5 pounds a month is all. Now, the single stream that program that we would propose would not include glass. That's one of the nuances that's come about here in recent years. Glass breaks, it contaminates the rest of the fiber, the newspaper, cardboard, and stuff that's in that material. So most every recycler, the only company that I know of that still collects glass is Waste Management. For one reason or another, but they have all their own processing centers, so they don't complain. It's their own processing center. All the people that we market or send this product to do not want glass in the material. So therefore, each household produces about 26.5 pounds, and that all adds up to about 21.5 tons a month that gets taken out of the waste stream in the city of Quincy. Using the same numbers, it would possibly be about 23.5 tons for the city of Othello. Based on a $77 just tip fee, that's only about 1,800 $1,000 a month that would be diverted away from the county and the disposal costs. The overall cost of collection and the providing of the containers is going to be about $7,500 a month.
Just for that portion?
Your cost to the city of Othello?
Correct. The can, the cost of service, I think currently our rate, our rate to the city is under $5 a can here in the city of Othello to the city. And we would be approximately about that same rate, maybe a little bit more. The single stream would have to travel further. With the garbage, we just got to take it out here to the transfer station. Single stream, we would haul it back to our transfer station, which is on the north side of Moses Lake, where we'd bale it, store it until we got truckloads where we could ship it out of there and send it to a recycler. So I'm just guessing at that figure. I think it was around $5, and so $7,500 a month is the approximate cost of providing that service. And that is every other week service for each household. So generally we provide a 96 gallon can. It's the larger of the garbage cans or the recycling cans. And generally a household doesn't fill up one of those cans, or it takes about 2 weeks to fill up one of those cans. Some people produce more recycling, whether they ship more, have more cardboard, or whatever the case might be. Some people will want to. And the way it's set up in the city of Quincy, you can ask for a second recycling container. It doesn't cost you anything more. You know, you can have as many of those as you want, and we'll pick them up every other week. So, but that's just the figure behind, because like I said, this recycling, everything in that recycling, I mean, what is it? It's plastic bottles, cardboard, newspaper, aluminum cans, tin cans. You can put some small, like steel cookware and things like that. You can put that kind of stuff in there. It still doesn't add up to a whole lot of weight. So you're not actually diverting that much weight away from the landfill and into recycling. The one that really creates the weight is the yard waste. If you get a yard waste collection service, they're generating probably 70, 80 pounds a month on average. So that can create a bigger diversion rate, but it still won't pay for itself in that it's not going to generate $7,500 in savings.
Okay, but rather than doing, see, right now our landfill will take at a minimum charge our yard waste and stuff like that. A lot of people don't have the means to transport it to there. But if we had a collection site within the city that wouldn't be a nuisance to people within the city, at a location that was closer than the landfill, that could be picked up once a month and transferred out there, is there something like that that can be done?
Well, there certainly is. I mean, little town of Waterville up there in Douglas County, they take one of our boxes every year, put it out. They've got a loading dock right out behind their municipal center, and they park it there, have a nice fairly solid screen top lid on it, which is locked with a chain and key. All residents are required to come into the city hall because we have to keep that stuff clean. Because this material is going out to Royal Organic, and if they start getting garbage in it, they're going to start complaining. So anyway, they're required to come into City Hall, sign out the key, and then they go to the back and aren't able to dump that material into the container. So they do provide that, and that can be done here. Again, there's just the small cost of, for example, if we provided the box, there's the box rental and then the fee to haul it out there. Probably, you know, $100 every time we have to haul it. And that pretty much covers our, you know, just covers our cost. And then whatever the county then would charge the city for whatever rate, my understanding it's like $45 a ton is what they're charging the public out there.
There's a lot of people in Othello that are interested in doing recycling. I've had a lot of individuals talk to me about it and ask why we don't do it. And I say it's because of cost, and that cost is coming from you. So we need to come together and figure out a way to reduce the landfill dumping of total waste and start recycling. We need to get together and get this done. And you need to help us understand what those costs are and what they're associated with and what kind of things can we do to remediate those costs, like putting us a container somewhere in town that can be loaded with yard waste and then removed. I go to the cardboard boxes all the time. You're not picking them up enough. I'm serious. They're full. You can't get any more material in them. When I go there, you need to get there and pick them up more. If that's a service you're offering for recycling, you need to work something out where you're getting there more often because they're completely full.
I agree. I've seen the same thing.
You know, I mean,
we provide that service as a part of the contract, no cost to the city. Those containers are provided there. They're not cheap. We have a cardboard route now. We switched to Thursdays for cardboard only. We have the ability to expand a little bit, but we're picking up a lot of cardboard already. I'm putting things, we've hired three people here in the last couple of months. So I got another gentleman coming on up in the Ephrata area here at the 1st of September. So we are expanding, we are growing, and hopefully down the road, we will be able to expand our cardboard service. And I know we're providing twice a week service over at the Quincy Recycle area, and we're actually providing 3 days a week. Of course, we're based right there in Ephrata, so we dump that 3 days a week. Makes it a little bit more difficult because the cardboard has to be picked up here and then hauled, like I said, clear to the recycling center in Ephrata. I suppose there's a possibility we could work it into, you know, I'll have to talk to our route manager and see if it could possibly be worked into to another pickup and just dumped at the transfer station, because the Adams County has a baler out here at the transfer station and does do some baling of cardboard. Of course, they keep that revenue, but it would save us the trip to going all the way to Moses Lake and still being able to get that facility serviced better.
Yeah. And I know one thing for sure, Mark.
Yep.
That cardboard's worth money. It's worth money. Even in a bad year, it's worth $50 a ton. And there's paper and pulp companies around here will take that corrugated. So you're picking up a waste stream that's worth money, that has value. The more times you came to pick it up, the more revenue you would make, because those things are loaded all the time.
But the more cost we also expend in providing that service. It's not cheap running those $425,000.
Your revenue made off of the product that you're selling after you baled it and bundled it will help pay for that.
It helps.
That's what recycling is. You recycle a material. It's a commodity. You make money off of it. So anyway, we can get further into this at a later date.
I just want to agree with John. We need to continue to work with you. We want to work out some kind of an agreement. We've had resistance in the past to raise any of the garbage rates to include recycling. But, you know, maybe our day has come. I do want to step outside that because we are talking about solid waste. When you deliver to the Adams County landfill out here, is that the end of your service? Do you then take those trailers and haul them to the regional landfill?
No, Adams County is operating the transfer station, providing that whole service.
So maybe this isn't a question you can answer, but it would be one that I would like to know the answer to. How can Grant County, don't they have their own landfill?
Yes, they do.
And they dump in their own landfill and they charge $28 a ton. And Adams County landfill doesn't pay a tipping fee because that was part of the agreement with the regional landfill when they were coming on waste management, was going to build that regional landfill. Adams County got free tipping fees. So why are they charging $50 more a ton when they don't pay a tipping fee than you guys do, and you're running your own landfill in Grant County?
Yeah, Grant County is running it.
Maybe Othello should move their garbage to Grant County.
Except for Grant County, and that's what they want to keep their landfill for their county. So they don't knowingly accept any county waste, any outside of county waste. Why are the fees higher here? I operational costs, the transfer station out there is going to take, is taking quite a bit of wear and tear. It's been there for several years now. They've got to make some updates to that. They beat on the equipment out there pretty badly. They've lost several trailers due to fires. They've had to replace those trailers. I think, I can't remember, five or six brand new trailers. I think they just had to purchase. They're not cheap. They're upwards of $100,000 a piece or more.
They just burned up a brand new one.
And let me get back to that too. Just for something to think about in this whole process. I wanted to get back to the single stream. If we ever do get, if the city council wants to move toward what Quincy and Moses Lake are doing, you need to be prepared to change your rates or your thoughts on your rates, in that to make these systems efficient, they must be mandatory citywide, residentially, and put all the cost on the garbage can. So it encourages people to do more recycling and or yard waste service, if that's included, based on the size of your can. So you, City of Moses Lake has three different size cans. The City of Quincy only has two, but they provide at least three or four sizes or levels of service. For example, so we give them either a 60 or a 90 gallon garbage can, of course the 90, and then included with that is your 96 gallon recycle can and your 96 gallon yard waste can. Now, that's just something for you to think about too. Think about driving up and down the streets and the alleys and seeing three cans at every single resident. Just make sure you've got that picture in your mind. Sometimes the alleys can get a little cramped. The Othello alleys, to best of my recollection, I haven't driven down all of them lately, but are wider than some of the alleys up in Quincy and Ephrata. We get some pretty tight situations with that many cans in the alleys. That's one thing. But anyway, so you get all three cans out there. You got recycling, you got yard waste, you got garbage. If you stay with a 96, you're going to pay more money. That's got to go up because you want people to recycle. So then you encourage them by dropping the rate on, down to the 60, or going down to a 60 every other week type of service, and make those rates accordingly lower. You still have the 96 gallon recycle and 96 gallon yard waste, but you only have one rate for garbage. So just so you know how it works up there in those communities, and that generally, that's one of the most successful scenarios that I've seen around the state.
Okay. Council, any more questions, Mark? Okay, so I think we're going to work together with you.
I wanted to make one comment toward the fires out there at the transfer station. They blame it on yard waste in the garbage, because yard waste, you know, if you pile it up, it's going to heat up. Mm-hmm. And if we get a chunk of yard waste in there and it doesn't get pushed around or spread around out there before it gets put in a trailer, they're kind of blaming that on the yard waste that's coming out of the City of Othello's garbage. Whether or not that's a reason for the City of Othello to go to yard waste collection service, I don't know. But that's just a thought in your mind in case you hear anything coming from Adams County.
Could be filter paper coming from the two plants too.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate you coming
and
tonight.
Again, if you've got any other questions or comments or, you know, just want to talk, give me a call anytime. I'm available.
Okay.
Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have with us Paul Rosso of the Washington State Department of Ecology, and he's going to review the outdoor burning laws and rules, given that it's kind of timely right now with all the fires we've been having. Paul?
Thank you. Mayor, council members, I'm Paul Rosso. I'm with the Department of Ecology Air Quality Program in Spokane. We have responsibility for the eastern region, and ecology is 12 counties. So I don't have a jurisdiction in Spokane County. They have their own Spokane Regional Clean Air, but we go pretty much everything east of the Columbia. We started, several of my coworkers and myself started these presentations to city councils and county equivalents. A little bit more than 10 years ago, there was a big change in the laws on outdoor burning having to do with urban growth areas and eliminating outdoor burning in urban growth areas. That's one reason I don't believe we've been to Othello's, because Adams County doesn't plan under the Growth Management Act, and therefore you don't have urban growth areas. But it seemed timely to do it now. So let me just go over kind of what the basis of the burning restrictions are in the state in general, and then explain in particular why there's been some problems, not in Othello, but around this corner of Adams County. Basically, we split it up into two kinds of burning, what we call outdoor burning and what we call agricultural burning. So you're all familiar with agricultural burning. Most of that is either field burning, mostly wheat stubble, or pile burning out in the orchards. Most of that happens in the wintertime. The outdoor burning is kind of everything else. So that's everything from your residence, maybe disposing of a small pile, to somebody wanting to burn 2 or 3 acres of hobby farm pasture or whatever. A few of these types of burning, for residential burning, somebody, as long as they burn non-prohibited materials, which is the only thing legal to burn, is natural, unprocessed vegetation. Let me stop. If there's ever any questions, please just ask. Because I'm real familiar with all this stuff. I've been doing this for years, but I might start to go into jargon, and stop me right there. So somebody can burn a pile 4x4 by 3 foot tall with no permit from ecology, residential burn permit. They're burning leaves or branches or whatever, and they don't need a permit from us. They need to contact their local fire district to get permission for fire safety, and they can't burn if there's a major air quality issue, but basically they can do it.
Okay, right there on that.
Yeah.
Are you in contact with the local fire department on burn bans?
On?
Burn bans. So if somebody wants to go out and burn a weed, you know, a ditch line, or burn a section of their, you know, they've collected all their yard waste in
sure.
the back or something, are you in contact with the local fire department to issue burn bans? So are they aware of the fact that you're saying that the air quality is not good enough that you can't burn today?
Okay. Yeah. And the reason I asked you is when people say the word burn ban, they can mean that can have a whole lot of different meanings. For agricultural burning, every day of the year, we issue a burn decision. And so anybody with an agricultural burn permit has to call, or we send it out on an email, but the old-fashioned way is they call the 1-800 number, and they got that burn decision. They listened to it. most of the fire districts, they're welcome to sign up for our listserv that distributes the email every day. And so I'm...
What I'm referring to is you can go get a burn permit from the local fire district.
From Fire District 5, yep.
You can go get a burn permit, and you can get a burn permit for 6 months. They actually issue them for a year.
Right, I understand.
So when you want to go burn some weeds to clear a ditch bank or burn along a fence line, you call the local fire department and you say, I'm going to be burning at this location.
Right.
Now, in the past, we've been contacted by the Department of Ecology saying you can't burn today, it's not a burn day, but yet we called the local fire district and the fire district said, you know, okay, we know you're going to be burning.
Right. So, we're talking outdoor burning or agricultural burning because there's just a big difference there.
Well, it's a burn permit and you're going to burn a ditch bank.
Okay. Ditch banks are, see, there's a lot of fine things in here. Ditch banks are exempt agricultural burning, so you don't need a permit from us. In Fire District 5, they require everybody to get a permit for everything, basically. We certainly communicate any burn ban we have with the fire districts. It sounds like there was a mistake in communication. For agricultural burning, I would certainly encourage anybody that ever has any questions to give us a call. And that's the story I was going to get to is we've had a couple of big agricultural operations, orchards, in the past several years be conducting pile burns in the winter, apple orchard tear outs. And we periodically visit the area. And so when we do and we find somebody burning, we stop in and we say hi. And 90% of the time, they have, you know, it's kind of like fish and game. You have your hunting license? Yeah, I do. Great. Have a good hunt. Have your burn permit? Great. Have a good burn. Well, they said they had a burn permit and they had, you've probably seen it, you maybe have one. This is Fire District 5's burn permit. And we said, well, but do you have our burn permit? Because you need that to be doing your burning. And they didn't, and that's a real problem. So if it's ag, people need to find out whether they need to get a burn permit and get a burn permit. And they can either call us or they can call the conservation district in Ritzville. Okay. So that's kind of the you brought me to my main message. Which doesn't directly involve the city council. I understand the city of Othello doesn't do any burning, but you collectively, I'm sure, have a lot better ways of communicating with the people that I'm trying to communicate than I do in a general way. And so that's part of it. Any questions involving burning, whether it be outdoor or ag, we'd always appreciate calls. And if we don't know the answer, we'll try to work it out. I invited the chief to this meeting tonight. He was involved in a training and he couldn't come because it would have been helpful to try to tease out these issues. But we are working with him and the fire district on a regular basis to try to, you know, we don't want it to be unclear. That's not our goal at all. And we'll continue to work. So I would say, anybody has any questions, give us a call. The four things that are not required for ag burning to have a permit, you know, there's one for outdoor burning, and that's that 4x4x3 pile or a campfire. For ag burning, it's the ditch banks, it's the annual orchard prunings, it's windblown tumbleweeds. And what's the fourth one? It's probably something that doesn't apply in Adams County. I'll think of it in a minute. So, other than that, all ag burning.
Piles from logging activities or something?
So that's the other burning that I'm gonna guess there's pretty much no silvicultural burning, forest burning that happens in Adams County. I gotta go out on a limb, but maybe there's some corner that I haven't experienced. And that's regulated by the Department of Natural Resources, all the silvicultural burning. Everything else is ecology, and our interest in regulating it is the smoke, the air quality interest. The fire safety is the fire districts or the fire departments. And so people that are permitted with us, we always tell them they kind of need two permissions. They need our permit, and they need to follow those regulations, and then they need permission from the fire district. Couple of weeks, how long ago was the Saddle Mountain fire? A couple of weeks? A month?
3 weeks ago.
Okay. When that went on, and right in the aftermath of it, we got a request from the chief, hey, our guys are dead tired. We don't want any ag burning. And so we didn't. We made no ag burning allowed for, I don't know, it was 3 or 4 days right after that. And, you know, that just had to do with common sense. You know, if an ag fire did go bad, these guys didn't need to be doing that right then. So, yeah, we work close with pretty much every fire chief in Eastern Washington that where there is ag burning to work it out. Next week in Walla Walla County, they have their county fair, and they always request during the fair that we don't allow ag burning, and so we don't. And if you pay attention to the burn decision, you'll see that there's no burning on days when there's home games at WSU. There you go.
That's perfect. That's every just Saturday of September.
This September, it's, if you want to burn on a Saturday, it's going to be rough. Because, yeah, we noticed that. Are there any other general questions?
Council?
Sounds like me if there's a ballot call.
Absolutely. We would appreciate it. We like talking with you.
And get a recorder. Recording.
If there's nothing else.
Okay, Paul, thank you. Really appreciate you coming out tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for the clarifications.
You bet.
We'll now move to item 4.3, 2018 budget process and committee schedule. And Spencer has a schedule for us.
Yes, thank you very much. Tonight I want to do two things. The first is just give a quick high-level overview over the next couple of months, what we're going to be looking at. If you look right here, July and August, these last couple of months, we've started working on the budget at the department level. In September, we're going to have our strategic planning retreat. In October, and that's September 22nd and 23rd, tentatively, that weekend, that Friday and Saturday.
You got that all set up, Sean?
Yeah.
So it's a go.
The Vantage location?
No. It's going to be here. Wade, you want to?
Yeah, we're going to cover that shortly.
All right.
Okay. That's on the agenda.
Okay.
So after that, the first couple of weeks in October, that's when we're going to hit our committee budget meetings. And then hopefully we'll be passing, we'll be compiling everything together for our November meetings and hopefully pass our final budget in December. Last year we did it on December 5th or 4th, the first meeting in December, so we'd like to do that again this year and be through the whole budget process for Christmas holidays. With that, the next item on here is the budget committee schedule. And back to that first item, are there any questions about the budget schedule? That's just very broad strokes, just how we're going to get from point A to point Z by December. This is the committee schedule.
to make this for this year, I grabbed the schedule from last year. I made a couple of small changes. But I just want to give this to you so you can be perusing it and see if these times, dates work for you, if you want to change names around, trade with somebody else. Last year, one of the last minute changes was on item 3, the street / TBD meeting. Councilmember Lawless, I believe you were on this one to begin with, and then we switched out to you, Angel, because we were, I think it was because of the number of committees that they were on. Anyway, regardless, we can make any changes here. We can make changes to the dates. So over the next week or so, take a look at the schedule, see what works for you, and we can revisit this maybe at our next meeting, and we can come up with something that works.
So these are just committee meetings, committee budget meetings?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
They're not the same as the committee meetings?
No.
Okay, good.
Correct.
So these are the ones, the opportunity, the chief and Wade and Terry and them present their budget, Park and Rec.
Yeah, so we'll sit down with the chief. We'll sit down with Terry.
Yeah. So with our budget meeting this year, Spence, there's been quite a bit of capital funds allocations presented and approved by the council.
Yeah.
Could you update us to where we're at and when those are going to be spent, because if we have to carry them over for another year.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be part of it. I'm going to include all of those. I'm working on doing that right now, including all of those items, because you're right. There are a number of them that we've talked about this year.
A number of them that have been approved, and they've been approved for quite a while, and the work hasn't been done. So how do you continue to roll over that capital?
I work with the department heads to see what is going to be finished this year and what do we think is going to roll over into the next year. And those are just guesstimates, but we'll talk about those in those meetings also.
All right. Good.
But that starts with the department head. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Great.
Everybody get back to Spencer about these times and dates. Okay.
And if...
My name's good.
Okay.
If you want to right now, we can.
I'm good on everything but the first two. I'll be out of town.
I'll be out of town November 11th.
November?
We're looking in November.
October 11th.
October 11th, okay. Oh, well, you're not on that one anyway.
Yeah, Parks and Rec.
Yes, Parks and Rec.
Oh, the October 10th? Or
11th.
11th.
Number 7.
Number 7. Last one.
I am sorry. This was not updated. I have a different schedule that I'm holding. Yeah.
It's a 2017 calendar at the bottom.
So.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
The schedule on the bottom script, those dates up top are rough dates. So if you take the first one, maybe we should just continue.
We'll leave it for our next one.
Yeah. So these are the with the committee meetings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you can count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. That's how they'll flow through. The first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh meetings.
All right. So I'll suggest the council get back on the 12th of September to confirm. Or the 11th, excuse me. Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you, Spencer. And now we shall move to the strategic planning session agenda. Wait.
Mayor and Council, if you remember, we discussed having a strategic planning session. I think the last workshop, we talked about this a bit, and one of the reasons we hired Teddy Wallace Hardcastle was to help lead us through that. So she has developed this little explanation of the 5-year strategic plan, what that means, what that would mean for us, and then later on then there is a schedule. But before we go to the schedule, just a reminder on the purpose of the strategic planning session, it's you know, all of you have your ideas where you want a fellow to go. You know, we all do, that are involved with the governing of the city. And so what a strategic planning session will do for us is allow you to coalesce that into one voice, one vision for all of you. And Teddy will help lead us through that, and myself also, because I've had some experience with that. But also part of this package is some homework for you all to sort of fill out and come to the strategic planning session with, sort of putting those ideas on paper. The more homework you do, the more complete you have that to bring with you, the more productive the session will be. Talking to Teddy last week, we have it scheduled for a half day on Friday and a half day on Saturday. That'll give a good portion of the work done. Then we'll have to come back for one later on to sort of go through it. We'll look at that schedule and see where that's going to be. But what will it allow us to do this year for our budget, and to dovetail into what Spencer was talking about, is that the strategic plan will give you guys a plan to start thinking about why, you know, budget priorities. You know, if we want to get a new whatever name or whatever we want to do, or a new personnel for this, how does that fit in the priorities that you guys have set for the city? Does that make sense? You know, maybe Councilman McCord, you've got some pet project you'd like to, you know, push forward, and then Councilwoman Dora says, wait a minute, Larry, how does that fit under our plan? So this is going to be a very valuable tool, I think, for you guys to use in the coming years. And this will be updated. Some people update it yearly, some do it every other year, some do it wait for 5 years, but it will be updated as we go through and make things happen. So I'm not going to read through what Teddy had written there, just that's for you guys to look at as far as what strategic planning is. But one of the biggest things you guys will be able to do in this, she doesn't mention it, and I talked to her a little bit about this, and she'll change this to fit that, but the biggest thing you guys will have to do is develop a vision for the city of Othello, you know, for the next, not only 5 years, but the next, you know, 15 years, 20 years, or whatever. What do you want Othello to look like? You know, what do you want it to be, you know, a city filled with parks, or a city that's going to be business friendly, all that stuff, and come up with a vision that you guys can use and talk to your constituents about. And then that strategic plan will fit under that vision and everything else under that. So that, in a nutshell, is what we're going to be doing. It's way more involved than what I just said, obviously. So if you go to the schedule now, Spencer. So our plan is, we were going to do it up at Advantage, but that was not available. A couple other venues were not available. So we're going to do our fallback for Othello, which is another reason to have a community center. But we're going to do it at the senior center because it'll work for us this time. And next time we do this, we'll hopefully get something better. But we want to get this done prior to the budget season. That's when we sort of dovetail it in here, and we'd have to take what we get. Some of those venues fill up very fast. But our plan is to, you know, so you don't burn a whole day on either end of this, is, and plus it helps to break it up in my experience. Start at 1 p.m. on the 22nd and go through that schedule. This is tentative, this will, as far as the different parts of it. This is what Teddy's used in the past with some variation. And then have a dinner together there at the senior center. The details of that will be worked out later. It'll probably be catered by someone. I'm not going to be fixing dinner for you. You probably wouldn't want that anyway, unless you want barbecue and baked beans or something. But so we'll do that. And then, as you see there, go through a couple of things. And then re-adjourn at 8 a.m. for we'll probably have some light continental breakfast type stuff available there. And then go through and scroll down. Switch your place. And try and get you out of there by noon on Saturday so you don't burn the whole weekend. So that's the schedule. And it's established a little bit of minor changes here and there as Teddy and I work through this. Questions?
So how set is the schedule?
As far as
times? And there's no way I can't do that one. There's no way.
Okay. When can you get there? We'll try it.
The earliest I could be there is probably 3:30.
What time?
Probably 3:30 or 4.
You got no PTO left?
I do, but we only got somebody out that week, and my relief is covering him.
What we can probably do is catch you, you know, bring it to speed with that, as long as everybody else is okay with the schedule and can make it otherwise, you know, adjust otherwise. But in order to stick to this and keep the half day, you sort of have to do it that way.
But we'll bring you up to speed. When you get there, we'll just, I'll grab you off the side and give you the miniaturized version.
I'll probably be about the same time also.
Okay. Let me talk to Teddy and see if we can do, if we slip a little bit, that means we have to go later in the evening. If you guys are okay with going later in the evening, we'll slip it, you know? That's okay too.
It's okay with me. I don't care.
Either way.
Either way.
Just slip it?
Yeah, it would. Yeah, if you have to move it for three people, then.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Three people's enough. We need to move it.
Yeah, if you need to move it ahead to 3:30 or 4 o'clock, that's fine. We can go into 11, 11 o'clock at night.
We'll try and get.
I'll keep you awake. You make sure you got plenty of coffee.
You guys keep me awake too, so that's.
I'm going to be snoring.
If we compromise with about 3 or 3:30.
In fact, I'm willing to go until midnight if you're serving drinks.
I understand that, but some of us aren't quite that flexible. And we'll probably shoot to try and get out of there by no later than 10 or so, and I'll talk to Teddy about that so we can do.
But we start at 8 the next morning, so we can be done at noon.
Yeah.
What time do you people go to bed at night? What time do you go to bed at night? Jeez.
Well, we'll still probably stick to 8 the next morning.
Yeah.
I had an old general tell me once.
That's sleeping in, 8 o'clock.
I had an old general tell me once, you sleep when you're dead, so.
Yep.
Yeah. There's always room to rest in the grave. So, okay. Council, so we'll move it maybe to 3:30. We'll go a little bit later in the evening.
And maybe go longer on Saturday if we have to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and make a new schedule out, Wade, and give it to us the next meeting.
I'll work with Teddy and plan on that.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions? Mary, have anything?
How do we lose out on the hilltop up there?
Apparently you have to do it pretty far in advance.
Really?
You're talking about Eagle Lodge. You have to rent out the entire lodge. The place up here.
I'm talking about the place up Advantage.
They don't. They're done at 2:30 on Saturday. If we wanted to start 2:30 at Saturday, they would. So they're just not available that date. So we just had to change it.
Well, you dangled that carrot, and that was really.
I know. I was ready to go. It is a nice place.
No, that's okay.
For keeping it local. Okay.
Right.
Other questions?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you, Wade. Let's move to item 4.5. This is an informational public meeting for water system plan. And Jesse has been patiently waiting to present information. Go ahead, Jesse.
So we have several agenda items lined up here relating to the water system plan. I'm going to go ahead and address the first one. I have Nate here, one of the engineers that worked with me on the water plan, and wanted to give him an opportunity to participate with the council on some of the actions that take place. So he's going to be explaining some of those. I went through some of these with the Water Sewer Committee. Really, Councilman Wallace is the one that heard most of it. I'll give you just sort of a quick broad context, and then I think these will go relatively quickly, but we'll see here. So the first item on the agenda is this informational meeting on the water system plan. And one of the things that Councilman Wallace expressed at one point was that he wished there were more public involvement on a lot of the decisions. You know, there wasn't necessarily a ton of feedback on all the decisions that the council makes. And in this case, it's actually required by the Department of Health and the Washington Administrative Code that the city have an informational meeting on the water system plan and invite the consumers and public to comment on the plan. So if everyone recalls, water system plan is your plan for the water system. It's looking at what the existing facilities are, what the capacities are, what you're going to need in the future, laying out an infrastructure plan, figuring out how to pay for it, and then putting it all together into the long-term capital improvements plan. And there's some other items that go along with that Nate is going to also touch on with the council, but that's just a really brief overview of what a water system plan is. And this particular agenda item is to give the public an opportunity to provide the council some feedback back on the water system plan. So there were some notices that were posted that this meeting was happening. The draft water system plan was made available for the public to review if they were interested. And so now, I guess, Mayor, I'll invite you to open it up for public comment, if there is any.
Public comment from the gallery? Okay. Apparently not. So continue on, Jesse.
So that's, I guess, that's more common than I think a lot of people wish, in that there isn't always a lot of input on these things. But we have had a lot of involvement with the council, or I should say with the Water Sewer Committee specifically, and then also with staff on it. So I guess I think the city's got a great plan here, and so lack of public input doesn't affect that. So that is, I guess that's the first item on the agenda here. So within a water system plan, there is a specific part of it related to water use efficiency, and that's what these next two agenda items are related to, and I'm going to hand it over to Nate here to give you sort of a little context for that. And then there's a similar informational forum specifically oriented toward water use efficiency that the Department of Health requires the council also to open up for public comments. So here's Nate.
All right, so DOH requires that municipalities address water use efficiency in the water system plan, specifically in your water system plan. It's located in Chapter 8. And the purpose of the water use efficiency section of the water system plan is to, it requires cities to set up a water use efficiency program and to generally encourage municipalities to efficiently use water. Good ways to do that is to make sure that all services are equipped with working water meters so that you can accurately track consumption from the consumers. Another is reducing distribution system leakage in your water mains. And that all ties in with having accurate meters on your pumps, accurate meters at all the consumers' connections, and then you can see what water is being lost. Another is to identify candidates for reclaimed water use. So that could be an example is school using reclaimed water for irrigation on their lawns. So in setting up the water use efficiency program, the municipality is required to adopt a goal, water use efficiency goal. And in order to accomplish that goal, the city outlines several measures based on number of connections they have in order to achieve their goal. So we do have a goal listed in that Chapter 8. You can see it's reduced water use by 640,000 gallons annually. We've identified six water use efficiency measures that we believe will that we will be able to meet that goal. At the moment, they are all informational and educational in nature, sending out mailings to the customers, residential, commercial, industrial customers. And those, the intent of those mailings are to help increase water use efficiency and for each of the consumers to find leaks if they exist on their property. I would like to point out that the city is also beginning the process, the planning process of implementing a non-potable irrigation utility using Bureau Rec Water, which will save a ton of water by reducing the loading on the aquifer. So you'll be taking it out of the canals, applying it to your residential lawns, all new development. So that's in the works right now, but is not shown so much in the measures. So We have a budget. What we estimated it'll cost to provide the mailings, and that's $1,200 annually in printing materials. And the staff in the Water Sewer Streets Committee reviewed the proposed water use efficiency goal and measures with the Varela. And we believe this is worth adopting. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the mayor for the public forum.
Is there any public comment? Council, do you guys have any comments? I do have a couple questions. So what it looks like in this excerpt of our plan on the water use efficiency, Nate, is that we're capturing a lot of it because we're using irrigation water on school properties. What about Lions Park, Kiwanis Park, and Pioneer Park? Can we not include those as part of our efficiencies? Because we're using irrigation water on those properties as well. Is that possible?
Well, those are
to meet our 640,000 gallon goal. No,
because those are already on a separate irrigation. Correct?
Yeah. Yes. And the goal is kind of like new efficiencies as opposed to one existing.
Yeah, it goes against what you're already using, so you've got to subtract from what you're already using.
So I can't do that.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, we can do it if we're going to go down Olympia and connect to the housing on the south side.
That would be new.
So that's not new. Because I have potable water. The land that's going to come down from 14th, and then bring the land down Olympia from east to west, we're going to tap into the lots where I live. So that's usable water right now, potable water.
Well, that
so we can minus that.
You could get credit for that.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you looking at, are those homeowners looking at signing up for it?
We haven't gotten that far yet, but that's the plan. As we bring water down, we're going to offer that up to them and see if they would like to do that.
Anywhere else?
Well, it obviously we could extend it on down those streets, you know, down 9th and 11th and et cetera, et cetera. We could do that down the road, and that would help us in the purple pipe system.
Well, that would be great. I mean, if we could put together some sort of a connection fee.
And the other, yeah, we, that's the water utility. That's the
anybody
utility.
Anybody that wants to connect to it would.
Right. That's going to be part of the irrigation utility that we're developing right now. Also, that part of the same thing, we're going to offer it to the Hiawatha School, which you can imagine how much water they use to irrigate that. So,
I welcome to daycare.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to run it across to them as part of the plan. So,
that'd be great.
Okay. Well, that might add to what Nate said. The non-pot system is probably one of the greatest potentials for decreasing the demand on the global system and kind of transferring it over to the non-pot system. So that by far is going to be probably the most real water use efficiency increase that the city has. So the stuff that's in the plan is actually in addition to any of that. And it's sort of striking this balance between what's going to be slammed on water use efficiency increase, you know, that non-pot system, versus additional measures that you're required to identify in the UH. So the goal itself is fairly modest, you know, and we talked about this, Councilman Wallace, that the goal in here is very achievable. The water system plan sort of accounts for the other efficiencies that the city hopes to realize with the non-pot system in another area of the plan. So they're related, definitely, in that it's going to be way more efficient to use the non-pot system for irrigation, but they're not necessarily linked to this specific goal. You know, that's a really modest goal in comparison to what the city is likely to save by implementing the non-pot system. So there's a little bit of distinction there, but it's still a useful part of the city's overall water use efficiency plan.
Okay, so let's move to item 4.7, adopt the water use efficiency goal. Nate?
Yes, so as stated earlier, the water use efficiency goal is that 640,000 gallons annually using the six water use efficiency measures. We did open up for public comment. There was no public comment. So we believe this is an attainable goal. We believe that the city council can adopt the goal.
How long do we have to meet the goal?
So it's on an annual basis. So this is basically if you implement the program, the savings estimates are based on having implemented those measures, and you're required to update the Washington plan. The Washington plan is a 6-year plan, so in 6 years you can update it again.
We don't need to meet a new 640 every year, do we?
Well, you do, but it's the measure of attaining it is having sent out the mailers. That's actually one of the...
Yeah, I read that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the strategies when you're setting goals is if you link them to sort of an action as opposed to having to demonstrate it to water use records, because those are, they're difficult to attain for a lot of reasons, because changes in type of summer you have, some are dry, some are wet, some are all that, you know, like, mm-hmm. those can do this, and it looks like you're not really achieving your goal, but if you link them to having done specific actions, DOH allows systems to adopt the goal in that way.
Okay, thank you. All right. Any other questions, Council? With that, I'd entertain a motion to adopt this resolution establishing Athol's water use efficiency goals.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further comment from the Council?
Well, are we... They don't have a number yet for the resolution, so the resolution has to be generated?
The resolution is ready. I think maybe that you can insert the numbers that were up at the exit, but we haven't recorded it.
Okay.
I have
to insert the numbers until after you guys move. Because I have to go and move my board.
All right.
Okay. Any other public comment? I'm inviting that at this time. All right. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Hey. Jesse? And now Jesse isn't done because he's got more.
One more item here. One of the things that came up during DOH's review of the water system plan was a section of Athol's municipal code that pertains specifically to ownership of water mains. And there was this, actually, Spencer, can you pull up the second page of the agenda memo for... Or that'll work too, actually. That'll work too. It's just lined out there. So this is the lined out version is the old language, and the language below it is the proposed revision. And the crux of the issue was that DOH objected to Athol indicating that mains outside city limits were not owned by the city, were not maintained by the city, basically no responsibility from the city, because they are still serving customers off of those mains, and DOH is concerned about health, you know, it's the Department of Health, and they require that if you're serving someone off of a main, you need to own it and be responsible for keeping it sanitary, basically. So that's kind of how the issue came up, and after looking at it, we looked at how several other municipalities addressed it, and we actually started with the template from Moses Lake and modified it with the Public Works input, and then also with the Water Sewer Committee input, and finally had Kelly Conkright look at it and got sign-off and buy-in from everyone. And this new setup is more specific on what the city owns and maintains, what the city doesn't, where water mains can be. You know, basically they can be in right-of-way, they can be in municipal easements. If it's on private property, it's not owned by the city. So that'll actually be helpful moving forward as projects are reviewed by city staff. They can be looking through a project and say, hey, you've got a main crossing private property here. You need to provide a municipal easement for that main, or we won't accept it, we won't maintain it, we won't own it. And so I think it's gonna improve the process overall. One of Kelly Conkright's comments or questions was, do we know for sure whether or not all mains are currently located in those two places? And I don't believe the city's done an exhaustive inventory to say yes or no to that. But as I was talking about it with Kelly, he indicated, he's like, you know, it won't matter because they're not violating an ordinance that you haven't implemented yet. Now that you're implementing the ordinance, you want to obviously follow it and get easements for any mains that happen to be on private property, that sort of thing. But I think overall this is gonna make things a lot better for the city. So it's maybe a little unusual for it to come up in the water system plan process, but I think it's going to make the code better and make things easier for the city. So that's an overview of it. Does council have any questions on that?
Okay. I entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance.
I make a motion to adopt ordinance blah 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 to revise OMC 12-20-010.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Jesse and Nate.
Good deal.
We'll move. Amy has been patiently waiting for us for items 4.9 and 10. Amy, take it away.
Good evening. This first item that I have on the agenda, we've already discussed prior to this discussion this evening. So if there are any other comments or questions, this is simply a request to amend the current contract with the Chamber of Commerce, moving the farmers market from Saturday to Thursday. They don't incur any extra fees. They're not creating a new event. They're just adapting to what changes need to be made.
I'll make a motion to approve the amended facility use agreement between the City of Othello and the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce for the use of Pioneer Park and Resolution 2017 to operate the 2017 market, park market.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy.
And the next item on the agenda is the circus would like to come to town again. In fact, they are planning on coming to town again, pending any unexpected judgment from the panel this evening. They will be arriving in town on September 5th. They will not be setting up their tent in the park until the 6th. Their first show day is the 7th through the 11th, packed up and gone by the 12th. They came last year for their first time for 5 days of shows. In years prior, they've been here for as many as 3 days and as few as two, but they had such good success and it works well in the schedule that they've now created since they've gone international to Canada now to increase their stay here as they wrap up their season. Currently they're in Mattawa, and so as soon as they're done in Mattawa, they'll be headed our direction, and then from here they head back to Vegas. So we are near the end of their circuit, and there is a large impact on the park facilities with them being here for the length of time that they're here. Reduces the amount of water that we can provide to that section of grass and mowing and all the other sort of details that go along, soccer rentals. But after sort of analyzing all of those things and trying to come up with a good plan, working with city staff is to make sure that that has a minimal impact on our general maintenance facility. And we've been a little more proactive with the Men's Soccer League this year as to plan for these kinds of events so that the schedules don't conflict with one another. I don't see any reasons from where I'm sitting that we shouldn't invite them to come back. We have a 15% agreement with them, so as opposed to a traditional special event in the park for the size of group that they have on any given night would be probably in the $200 category. Instead of that, they give us 15% of their ticket sales, which last year brought in $2,804.
Helps to offset some of the impact that we have on the park.
Yes, for $10 an hour soccer rental, the circus.
So last year was 3 days. This year they're wanting five?
No, last year was 5 days also. They came, last year was the first year that they came for 5 days.
Uh-huh. And then as our Parks and Rec staff head, department head, it was okay? You felt that the outcome was good?
Yes.
Did they take good care of her?
They did not. They penned an animal, a horse, a very small one, in a pen in the middle of the soccer field, and it ate grass for a week. And so when when they went home, there was like a pen of dirt, basically like the dimensions of their pen, where the horse had eaten the grass all the way down.
So
that's been specifically outlined in their contract and in the resolution this year that their livestock must be kept in its trailer, not on the grass unless it's during showtime. So they will still have an animal pen behind the stage, but the the animal shall be kept off of the grass.
Or at least if they move their pen around.
At least it's like mowing then, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't ideal, but
okay.
They were very apologetic and they promised it won't happen again.
Okay.
Entertain a motion to adopt this resolution for Crown Circus.
Say one thing.
Yes.
I'm 100% against using our city parks for these circuses and stuff like that. I would like to see them come up with a different plan, maybe at the rodeo grounds or up at Walmart or somewhere, but not in our city parks, which we're trying to make it look nice. And then to have it trampled down, you can't tell me it's good for it to keep them there for 5 days with all the traffic, but that's just my own opinion.
Okay, noted. Anyone else have a comment? All right, I'd entertain a motion to adopt this Crown Circus, American Crown Circus resolution.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
For the record, Councilman Lawless and Councilman McCourty voted nay, but the motion carries. So thank you, Amy. And we'll move now to item 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business tonight? Mark?
What did we ever find out on CBHA's entrance?
Yeah, we're still negotiating with them, by the way. So when I get an update, I'll let you know. But we're working with Kurt and with their engineer, and we're trying to work something out. Kurt was getting some figures together. I'm not sure where he is with that, but we're
still haven't been able to find anything in writing or in, you know, on record.
We found a couple of things, John. We're still putting it all together.
So you got to that meeting that we discussed it in the okay.
Right.
Have you talked to the other parties involved? We discussed this at our committee meeting.
Yeah, right. I haven't had a chance to get hold of Hamptons yet, but we'll have to ask them.
Has construction started on the sewer line, water line?
On the what?
Construction started on the sewer line, the water line?
No.
No?
That's
the pipe's filled up today.
Pipe's here now?
That's good. Nice. The update on that was we had sent our suggestions back to their engineer. And I don't know if you've heard back, but you probably wouldn't know, Jesse.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. New business? Is there any new business tonight?
I think they started the streets down here. I started to go down and a lot of barricades up.
Good.
So they started that program.
Yeah. It started last week, actually, so.
Oh, did they?
We drove down Second the other day, and it was very nice.
Good.
Pond's the same way. Good chance to go that pond.
Pond was real nice.
Mayor, you need council needs to decide if we're doing the workshop, which is scheduled, of course, for next Monday is Labor Day, and if you guys are going to do it on Tuesday.
Do we have anything on the agenda? Becky says we have nothing on the agenda.
Well,
do you guys want to?
A lot of informational stuff tonight. So.
Yeah. So do you guys want to dispense with the meeting and we'll pick it up on the 12th?
If something comes up, if you have several things come up that absolutely have to be done, we could always have it, but I would say.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion then to cancel our regularly scheduled workshop on September 5th.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Or is that the 4th? 4th, sorry. We have a motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 7, council will also receive the following. Number 7.1, department head reports, and 7.2, planning commission minutes. Having no further business.
Okay. We're going to update this schedule on Word Docs, so you'll have that on Word Docs starting tomorrow morning, and we'll also do that to you. So you'll have.
Thank you, Spencer. And no further business. I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:14 p.m.